Conclusion. Congratulations. You've increased your knowledge about selling your home, especially about the most common mistakes sellers make. Understanding why such mistakes occur is easier than figuring out how to improve the process, which is fraught with strong feelings, deeply embedded customs, and sometimes confusing information. As you've come to find out, the real estate industry isn't exactly on the side of the sellers. Agents often view sellers as lead generation tools and pawns for their own game, so it's up to the sellers to make sure that doesn't happen. Few agents are willing to tell their clients about those mistakes, if they're even aware of their errors. Still, the truth is out there, and I did my best to lay it out honestly using data, analysis, my experience, and common sense. Since my first house sale on Marengo Avenue in Pasadena, I've learned from my clients' mistakes and my own. I've mastered effective selling strategies by avoiding errors I've outlined here and streamlined the sales process. Unfortunately, I still see homeowners and their agents making those same mistakes every single day, mistakes that cost time, money, and headaches. However, you've listened to this book and now the odds are stacked in your favor. Agents ask me all the time how I built my business. After a few minutes, I find that many really don't want to listen. They frown and disagree with me as soon as they hear that I insist on helping sellers before I consider the health of my business. The funny thing is, that position is actually what drives my success. Going through this writing process has paid off. It's encapsulated what I've been doing and how I built a successful business of repeat and referral clients. But, as you can see, it goes against the grain of our industry. I will admit that it made me a bit hesitant to write the book. I know I'll get some backlash. Thank you for taking this journey with me. I hope this book contributes to a louder voice for change. The takeaways. Number one, interview at least 3 experienced top local agents. Not doing this is the biggest seller mistake of all. 75% of sellers interview only 1 agent. Having a tough time finding 3 worthy candidates? Call the manager at the large local brokerages and ask them to name their top agents. Ask your friends and do an online search. Do your homework to make sure your 3 agents have excellent reputations online and among their peers, and that they have a robust web presence. Check references. Search my website to see what a great web presence looks like. Number 2. Don't give your listing away. Make the agent earn your business. 75% of all sellers don't interview more than 1 agent. And 75% of sellers don't use that same agent the next time to handle their transaction. Go through the principles of this book to find the agent who will do what's proven to get you the best price possible and not use you as a business prop. Number 3. Good is the enemy of great. Have you ever had a good result and realized, maybe years later, that you could have actually had a great result if you had done something differently? Too often, having a good agent can cloud your judgment and can often keep you from a great result. Hire someone great. He or she is out there. Number 4, research your agents and the homes they've sold. The agents, as well as the homes they've sold, should be easy to find on the internet. You should be able to find dozens, if not hundreds, of homes they've sold. The way your agent markets their home listings is the way they're going to market yours. Look for professional photos, a floor plan, a property website, and a strong social media presence. Their home listings should pop up on dozens of real estate portals. Number 5. Think twice before hiring a friend or family member. Why mix business with personal relationships? If you have a loved one who feels entitled to sell your home, tell them you value the relationship you have with them so much that you would prefer to have a true business relationship with your agent, meaning you would like to have the ability to yell at them or fire them if necessary. Business relationships work better when there's this sort of leverage. If you're going to make an exception, have Aunt Sue go through the interview process. Number 6. Favor a realtor with a broker's license and someone with at least 5 years full-time experience. Experience is vital to a successful sale. Not all licensees are realtors. Most agents don't have a broker's license, which is harder to earn than a normal salesperson's license. Be careful hiring newbies. 87% of new agents leave the business within 5 years. Number 7. Teams and designations are impressive, but that's about it. Be wary of working with large teams. You'll get passed around to multiple agents, some of whom will be newbies. Don't be surprised if you fall through the cracks. Successful agents with a small support team tend to be more successful and get more referrals and repeat customers than large teams. I certainly do. And don't judge agents based on the acronyms on their business cards. It doesn't always mean they're successful. It usually means they have a lot of time on their hands. Number 8. National and international firms have the best audience for your home. The larger the brokerage network, the larger the audience, the better exposure, which brings more buyers, more offers, and a better price in terms. The MLS is incredibly important. However, the brokerage's network is vital as well. Since no one knows where your highest paying buyer will come from, it's important to have access to a large firm with strong tools and a network and platform to market your home. Small boutique brokerages are appealing and cool, but they have smaller audiences and fewer tools. Number 9. Technology isn't replacing the agent anytime soon. However, your agent needs to embrace technology. The use of agents has actually increased since 2000, and not even Wall Street thinks the agent will be replaced. Sellers continually say they need help with negotiating price and terms, determining listing strategy, advice about the selling process, and a dose of therapy. Technology can't do any of that. Number 10. Don't let your listing agent represent your buyer when selling your home. Understand dual agency and its perils. Dual agency rarely ever helps the seller. Keep in mind it almost always benefits the agent and the buyer. Agents who want to do pre-marketing, bring in their own buyers, or do open houses are red flags. Your agent should agree to be your advocate. The agent scores extra points if they voluntarily offer single-party representation within the first few minutes of an interview. It should be that important to you and to them. Number 11. For sale by owner. If you choose to sell your home yourself as a FSBO, understand the drawbacks of going it alone. Your home will likely sell under market value, with a heavy reliance on signs and open houses, a lack of marketing on the largest platforms, little to no liability protection, no access to the right forms, and you'll be dealing with a variety of buyer types. 92% of FSBO sellers eventually list with a broker. Number 12. Ask your agent about the top 5. What are the top 5 positive selling points and the top 5 challenges of your property? Does your agent understand each of them? The positives should be the pillars of the marketing strategy, so listen carefully. Listen to how your agent will handle the most challenging aspects of your property as well. Agents blow sales all the time because they don't have clear, prepared responses to buyers' questions about a property's challenges. Number 13, be sure to understand the market, pricing strategy, and absorption rates. The best agents will clearly explain the pricing strategy according to your marketplace and absorption rates. A great agent will get you the market price, the best terms, and have a solid strategy to entice a bidding war. And yes, backup offers are always possible. If everything else is done correctly and you still haven't sold your house, then the right asking price is the vital final ingredient. Number 14, beware of commission breath. You'll know what it is when it presents itself. The most successful agents have a service mentality and aren't overly pushy. Get ample time to review the paperwork and make your decision. Ask yourself if the agent is trying to do it right or just trying to make a sale. Number 15, if you can negotiate the listing commission down, be careful. You're up against what is supposed to be a professional negotiator. If you can push around your agent, then so will everyone else. How the agent negotiates with you is how your home sale and concessions will be negotiated. Don't be offended if you can't negotiate the commission down. You get what you pay for. Number 16, sell quickly, but not too quickly. The most and best buyers gravitate to a listing in the first few days. As time goes on, buyer interest, which includes calls, showings, and web hits, slows down considerably. Selling in the first few hours or days may cut out many of the best buyers and threaten the leverage of getting backup buyers. Each market is different, so find out if the best buyers come within the first few days or weeks of going on the market. A quick look at comparables will tell you what's going on in your market. Number 17, don't let an agent buy your listing. Agents can suggest an overmarket asking price to win the listing, knowing there is little chance of getting your home sold. They'll just have to ask you for price reductions until it sells, and chasing the market down is a slippery slope. It's a horrible strategy. Don't fall for it. When a home is on the market for a long time, it almost always yields fewer offers, lower prices, and worse terms. Dropping your price signals that you will negotiate, and you are definitely overpriced. Also, showings do not always equal interested buyers. Agents use overpriced homes to sell better-priced homes all the time. Number 18, don't rely on open houses. Be wary of the agent who tells you to open your home to the public and who will do open houses until it sells. NAR data shows that open houses are almost totally ineffective for the seller. The few benefits are monumentally eclipsed by the many problems an open house creates for the seller and their agent. Still, open houses have big benefits for the agent. Number 19. A for sale sign is ineffective. A for sale sign on a typical home has close to a 1% chance of selling that home. Signs also have the negative side effect of attracting people to your front door, to peek into your windows, or walk into your backyard unannounced. Signs are mainly free advertising for agents and brokerages. Number 20. Print ads and mailers are almost useless. Both are failed business strategies. Your first showing is always online. Most buyers will learn about your home through the internet. This should be the primary marketing platform by far. Buyers are not looking in their mailbox or waiting for the newspaper to be delivered to shop for their dream home. Buyers say print has less than a 1% effectiveness rate. An agent who relies heavily on print ads and mailers is an agent who's more interested in marketing themselves. Number 21. Professional photos and a layout are imperative. Buyers are visual, so give them what they want. Great photos, the right number of them, drone photos, a digital floor plan, and even a virtual tour. Your first showing is online. Don't blow your first showing. Number 22. Agent blues? If you feel you've hired the wrong agent, act quickly to try to resolve the situation. Simply ask to cancel your contract. You might be surprised. They may not want to work with you either. Review the protection periods in the contract and always consider speaking with a residential real estate attorney to review all your paperwork. Number 23. One last tip. Ask the agents you're interviewing about the principles in this book and see if they agree with them.